Hello, I'm Will Shires. This is Talking Trucks, and my guest today is Phil Moon, Marketing Manager at DAF Trucks UK. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the new DAF XD and finding out exactly why it won International Truck of the Year 2023. We recorded it in the cab of an XD, and you'll hear some mild background interference during our chat. It only lasts for a couple of minutes and hopefully won't distract too much. Thanks for joining us, Phil.
Good morning, Will, and pleasure to be here.
Today we're in the cab of a new XD. What one is this?
This is the sleeper hide.
Okay.
So it's got a single bunk in this one, but can have two. But obviously designed for longer distance sort of applications within the distribution sector.
Yeah. So there's also the there's a day cab, and what's the third one?
Just a sleeper. So a regular height roof sleeper. With a single bunk. This has got the elevated bunk, it's elevated roof that you'd also see on a typical new generation XF, so with lockers above the windscreen,
yeah.
And obviously more standing height.
Okay. Right, and of course, this was launched in September and was immediately crowned International Truck of the Year, so congratulations on that one.
Thank you.
Now, I think it's fair to say that the CF was losing favour fast, certainly with the big fleets. They were sort of tending to go for the XF, weren't they, for residuals and driver retention. Do you think that will be reversed?
I think the XD is certainly going to reinvigorate the sort of medium sector range, sector of the DAF range. The CF remained a really popular choice, particularly in rigids, but you're right that we'd seen in the tractor business where people had traditionally maybe bought a CF, perhaps favoured the XF because the driver retention was a big issue, a big concern, and I think with the quality of the XD, I think there's no reason why people can't revert to buying the vehicle that's ideal for their operation.
Yeah.
And if you're a distribution operator or an operator whose driver is in and out of the cab many times a day, the XD is probably the truck for you.
Okay. Does CF remain in production?
It does remain in production. We've obviously got existing production commitments for customers who've got CFs on order, so they will continue to be built for some time. And there are other non-European markets for whom the CF will be the main product range for medium-duty vehicles, and we'll continue to build those. There's no announced end date for the production of CF at this stage.
Okay. Right, I want you to talk us through the new truck. Let's start with the exterior. So, like with the XF and the XG, XG Plus, you've taken advantage of the new masses and dimensions regulations, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. So the new
In fact, start by telling us what those regulations were. That would help.
Okay, so a number of years ago, the European Commission recognised that there was an opportunity to make some significant improvements to the environmental footprint of trucks by making them more aerodynamic. But one of the things holding them back were the overall length limits, which had tended to end up with trucks being very upright front ends.
Yeah.
So by relaxing overall length limits and giving manufacturers the scope to make the front of their vehicles more aerodynamic, then obviously we can cut aerodynamic drag and therefore improve fuel efficiency and therefore reduce CO2 emissions, which of course is really important when we're facing real global warming
yes.
challenges. So it's got a real fundamental drive behind that change. That legislation came into effect in September 2020 for new vehicles and was adopted in the UK in February this year here in the UK, effectively allowing vehicles with effectively no overall length. So instead of 16.5 metre being the maximum from an Arctic, there's really no overall length, as long as the vehicle is type approved to the latest masses and dimensions requirements. So what we've done at the front of the new generation vehicles is elongate the front by 160 millimetres, just over 6 inches,
yep.
compared to our previous generation of vehicles. If you look closely at the vehicle, it sort of curves away to the sides from the centre, so it protrudes more in the centre, and also the front of the vehicle rakes back, and the sides of the vehicle also taper, and that's part of the sort of design envelope that manufacturers have to work within. And that subtle change of styling allows the air to move more smoothly around the cab, and that can
yeah.
contribute up to about a 6% reduction in aerodynamic, a 19% reduction in aerodynamic drag, but a 6% fuel saving for a vehicle that's doing long distance operations.
So it's 6% more fuel efficient than the CF?
Yeah, in terms of aerodynamics, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. Yes, yes. But there's also other savings that aren't related to aerodynamics to take the total to about a 10% reduction in fuel consumption.
Cool, yeah. Yeah, that curve is really noticeable in this massive windscreen as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So the windscreen, so one of the other benefits of redesigning the front of the vehicle has been that we've been able to do a number of things to improve vision. So the windscreen is deeper, it wraps round further, and that gives an uninterrupted panoramic view from the driver's seat towards the front, but importantly, forwards and downwards, so that any vulnerable road users immediately in front of the vehicle, you know, in this XD, you can see them. It's really, certainly, a fully grown adult, it's almost impossible to hide from view to the front or the side of the vehicle, yeah. Which is game-changing in terms of vulnerable road user safety.
Yeah, well, I'll be driving one in a minute, and one of the things I'm keen to check out is this this corner view. I know the truck we're sitting in right now has got conventional mirrors, mm-hmm. which I've got to say, there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. I love this massive gap between the wide angle and the main one. But it'd be interesting to see what your what are they called? The vision cameras that we call DAV vision camera?
Yeah, DAV digital vision system is what we call them. Yeah, so that replaces the main and wide angle mirrors with a camera, and then you've got monitors mounted inside the cab on the A pillars to give you a view. And by doing so, we improve direct vision. By removing the main mirrors from your direct view through the side windows, that contributes to improved direct vision. Again, it helps for vulnerable road user safety. But the corner view camera, which we've decided to make standard on the XD, because the XD is going to find itself in more sort of challenging urban situations, yeah. We've made that corner view camera standard. That has a monitor on the passenger side A pillar, and you see through one monitor, you see a sort of 270 degree view across the front and down the side of the vehicle, down the passenger side of the vehicle. So it's really easy to notice people in those danger zones, yeah. To the front and the side of the vehicle. Arguably much easier than trying to interpret the view that you would otherwise get through a front view and a curb view close proximity mirror, which are not necessarily in the natural angle of a driver's view when they're using the normal mirrors.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And the view from this over this dashboard is fantastic as well. There's two dashboards, isn't there? This is the shorter one, and it dips down, doesn't it, towards the windscreen, just to give you that.
Yeah, so all new generation DAF vehicles have got a dash which is designed to have a big flat storage area, which is kind of important for drivers to put lots of their equipment. We've got booklets and notepads, my phone, a set of keys on the one where it's sitting in at the moment. So it's a great area to put stuff. But on the XD, to improve the direct vision so that the driver can really see all of the glass area, it's actually slightly smaller than you might see on an XG or an XG Plus. And therefore, you know, it does enhance that view to the front even more.
Yeah, okay. I like the dashboard as well. So this is, it's an exact replica of the XF XG, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the nice thing, that this is, although this is a smaller truck in terms of its exterior dimensions, it's a big truck inside. So it's got all the great features and fittings that have won so much praise for the top of the range XG Plus, the XG and the XF. So a standard digital dashboard with a second screen, laid out really for fantastic ergonomics, a steering column that allows the steering wheel to be completely adjusted right out or right back, so if the driver wants to drive
that's
a relaxed car-like style, they can make that change and adjust it to themselves. So it's got all of those sort of things that you get from the high-end XG Plus to the driver of a distribution vehicle. It's a great advancement.
And I like the fact that when you get in this, you don't need to read the manual. It's all self-explanatory. Like you say, you've got this screen, but a lot of your main functions are on buttons, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Most of the driving controls, in fact, all of the main driving controls you're going to need to, you know, just pilot the vehicle are either on the steering wheel or on the stalks on the steering column, so you can pretty much drive the vehicle without taking your hands off the wheel. But there are where you do need to sort of make adjustments whilst you're on the move. We've retained conventional switches, which are easy to see, easy to find, and easy to interpret with clear icons, so that you really don't need to read the manual. We'd always encourage that you do, because there's lots of hidden features as well, which are really useful for the driver to get the best out of the truck. But yeah, you could crack on without having to worry about how to get the vehicle moving and drive it safely.
Yeah. Anything else new in here? The bunk, is that... basically, it's a cut down version of the XF XJ, isn't it? It's not as wide.
It's not as wide as the XF or XG. The XG, of course, has the full width bunk, which is 800 millimeters deep across its length, and importantly, it has some space as well between the bunk and the back of the seats. The XF is a little bit shallower and has cutouts behind the seat. The XD is a little bit smaller again, but it's still pretty generous. It's the same dimensions in width terms as the CF, but it's actually longer. One of the beauties of having a what we would call a full width cab, a 2.5 metre wide cab rather than a 2.3 metre wide cab, is we've got a longer bunk. So taller drivers will be able to get a better night's sleep in the XD than they might have had in the CF previously.
Okay. What about the driveline?
The driveline is the MX-11. So the MX-11 10.8 litre six-cylinder engine is available in five ratings. Compared to the CF, they've all got enhanced torque, and they've all got what we call multi-torque. So that means actually when the vehicle is being driven in direct drive, which is typically top gear, or maybe on an overdrive top gear box, it's direct drive and overdrive, you get actually extra torque. And that's quite important to maintain road speed in that gear without having to lose gears on hills. And it contributes to very low gearing of the vehicle, so it helps to deliver high torque at low speeds, and that means the driveline can be geared for what we call down speeding. So yeah, that helps to contribute. So when we talked about fuel economy savings and 6% coming from aerodynamics, it's probably about another 3% comes from the improvements to the driveline. So that would take us up to sort of a 9% reduction in fuel consumption, typically on long distance truck operations compared to the predecessor vehicle. So the five ratings go from 370 through to 450 horsepower.
Yeah.
With 2350 newton meters of torque in the top rating. So with an MX engine brake as well available to give good secondary retardation on the vehicle to help keep the vehicle speeds in check.
Okay, well, I'm going to be driving a an Arctic now, a 450, but at 30 tons. I can imagine that's going to be fine, but there's a lot of hills around here. I'm thinking at 44 tons, that's going to be a bit of a rolling roadblock.
The 450 is more than capable of 44 ton operation, but we do recognise, particularly people running in the UK, maybe in hilly terrains, they might want more than that. And of course, we've got the 13 litre engine. Now, the 13 litre MX-13 is not available in the XD. We sort of designed the XD as a no compromise distribution orientated vehicle.
Yeah.
So, with the cab as low as possible, but also meaning we've got a low engine tunnel for good cross cab access.
That
has led us to focusing on the MX-11. But there's no problem if people do want more than 450 horsepower, then we've got the MX-13 with ratings all the way up to 530, and of course they can have that in the XF.
Yeah,
that sits a little bit higher off the ground, but that's what we need to do to accommodate both the size of the engine but also the cooling system for the engine, so that fits quite nicely. And what we've recently released is also a day cab and a low roof sleeper version of the XF cab. So vocational applications that don't want the high roof sleeper cab on an XF, they've got a choice. So if you need more than 450 horsepower, that's the solution for
okay, that
for
makes
the
sense. And it's got the same ZF Traxxon gearbox as the CF had.
Yes, it is.
No changes there.
A lot of changes in terms of the way that the behavior of the gearbox. So when you drive the vehicle, you'll recognise the improvements in gear change, swifter gear changes, smoother gear changes, a whole lot more responsive and a whole lot more comfortable to drive compared to its predecessor, because we've refined the way the engine and the gearbox talk to each other, the clutch control, to make it a sweeter driveline.
Okay. So, yeah, lots of changes, presumably considerably more expensive than the CF.
Well, it's difficult to put a figure on it because, of course, we've seen a lot of changes in cost prices of, of components and things like that. And the market, to be honest with you, has seen some significant increases in cost. Nobody can hide that fact. But I think that those operators who are having to now pay more for the trucks will be pleased to know that if they buy the new XD, they're going to get these improvements in fuel efficiency. And that can be worth an awful lot, thousands of pounds a year over the lifetime of the vehicle, which can add up to a lot. And of course, focusing on driver retention, you know, that operators are also appreciating the improved quality of the interior and the features and fittings of the cab and its suitability for the sector of the market that it's in.
But can you give us a rough idea of a percentage price increase over the CF?
Well, I don't really do prices.
That's someone else's job, right. And built in Britain as well? Well, assembled in Britain anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've of course, DAF produces trucks both in Eindhoven and in Leyland. And the XD, like the rest of our product range, will be produced in the factory in Leyland, and it goes, you know, it's fairly obvious that vehicles destined for the UK market tend to be built in Leyland. It's not everyone. We obviously try to balance lead times to ensure that customers get the trucks when they need them. So some trucks will be built in Eindhoven, but the majority are built in Leyland. And of course, that's great to be supporting the UK economy.
Yeah. You mentioned lead times then. What are current lead times?
Well, lead times typically are into 2023, probably looking, we're talking now in mid-October. If a customer ordered a truck, they'd probably expect a build slot towards the end of the second quarter 2023.
Okay, so it's not as long as it has been.
No, but you know there are limits on production as well. So it's a difficult to give a very clear answer on that because we've had so much turmoil, if you like, in terms of supply chain.
And we're going to get an electric version of this.
Absolutely. So the IAA, we announced two new generation models being available with an electric driveline: the XD and the XF, and they will enter production during 2023.
Okay. And finally, then the LF. So obviously, that's built in Leyland as well. Any changes for that coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've made some changes just recently to the LF, focusing on the driveline. So we've really recently introduced new PX5 and PX7 engines.
So those are Cummins, are they?
They're the Cummins originated engines. Yeah, they're a 4.5 litre 4-cylinder and a 6.7 litre. Six-cylinder engine with ratings up to 310 horsepower, and the changes include a change to the turbocharger, a change to the after-treatment system, and all really aimed at improved fuel economy, improved reliability, and improved operational flexibility in urban operations, cutting down the requirements for the likes of regeneration and things like that.
Yeah.
But probably most exciting, and the change that I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing customers' reactions to, is the introduction of our new Powerline gearbox. This is an 8-speed power shift automatic transmission, which will, I think, go a long way to replacing the need for manual gearboxes, as it brings sort of car-like response times and drivability to the heavy commercial vehicle sector. And I think in the LF, which is a vehicle that spends a lot of time, you know, in urban areas with lots of gear changes, that new gearbox will be a real game changer.
And I think this is the same ZF box that's in quite a few luxury cars, isn't it?
Correct.
Like the Aston Martin Vanquish.
Yeah.
That's going to piss off a few Aston Martin owners, knowing that they've got the same gearbox as the DAF truck.
I'd like to think that they'd be pleased to be sharing that technology.
Obvious question. The LF cab at the moment, you're giving Volvo a lot of money for that because it's a Renault cab. Surely you can reduce the size of this, make a narrower version of this cab, and then you've got a new LF, which you're not having to pay Volvo for.
Well, that's a tricky question. I would say first of all that it is that the LF cab, of course, is a shared development. Obviously, it's produced by Renault. But of course, the DAF variant of that cab that we fit on the LF has got its own DAF unique features,
yeah,
which I think has contributed to its success. It's obviously the market leading truck by far in the UK, you know, from 7.5 right through to 18 tons. You know, it's got phenomenal success. And, you know, it's obviously a real winner with our customers. So we're not under a great deal of pressure to change it, I'm afraid, and it is a formula that that continues to win. So any changes we do make, we will have to make very carefully.
Yeah, okay then. All right, you should be in politics, I think. How did you get into the industry? I mean, like, when I first met you, you were with Foden, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
What came before that? How did you start out?
Yeah, well, I suppose it all goes back to my dad was a lorry driver. So
okay.
I used to spend my, I think it was, it might be called childcare now, but it was, what did you do during your holidays? That I sat in the passenger seat being bombarded by the noise of a heavy, you know, Perkins engine and never been able to speak to my dad.
Oh, well, what truck was it?
Well, various over the years. You know, he drove for different operators. He drove tankers. He drove general haulage and things like that. So a mixture of all, I think, British brands, you know.
Yeah.
From Guy's and Foden's and Leyland's, Seddon's, Dodge's, all of those sort of brands I've sat in the passenger seat of with my dad over the years.
Yeah.
I was always passionate about transport, mainly trucks. Did an automotive engineering design degree at Loughborough University, which sort of got me excited about the technology beneath the cab of trucks, but also other vehicles as well. Went to work for BRS, you know, and that was a great learning opportunity, actually understanding the operation of trucks. Coming at it from a slightly different side. Worked there, had a fairly intense time moving around different jobs, learning lots of different elements of the business. Did some travelling, came back, did a bit of delivery driving, and
before
I joined at Foden, and Foden was a great opportunity for me. Started off in engineering, looking at what we called application engineering, which was basically taking customers' requirements and translating them into the ideal spec for them. Because, you know, Foden had a very much a customization approach, you know, looking at a customer's specific needs and building a vehicle from a set of components that meet their requirements. And that's a great way to sort of start to learn about how customers use trucks in slightly different ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, so enjoyed my time at Foden, and then as the announcement of Foden's retirement was made, I took the opportunity to, as a number of other people from Foden did, to move over to DAF. And I've got to say, I've never really looked back. I've enjoyed my time at DAF. It's been great to be part of a market-leading brand. Great set of people, of course, within the team there, and a great devotion and to the haulage sector. DAF is a very much a truck brand, as Foden was, you know, with a real concentration on this sector of the market.
Yeah, and it's also seen as a British brand, really, isn't it?
Very much. I mean, although, you know, the DAF name is obviously a Dutch name, the relationship, particularly with Leyland over the years, goes back a long, long way. Of course, when DAF started to build their first trucks, so the first trucks were built in 1949, they were produced with Perkins engines, but also with Leyland engines.
Oh, is that right?
And the DAF engine family really sprung out of first them buying Leyland engines, then building them under license, and then starting to adapt them. And of course, that came together when DAF bought Leyland, became Leyland DAF, of course, and that relationship has continued throughout. So there's a lot of you know, British DNA in the trucks that DAF produce today.
Yeah, and that's reflected in your market share. How long have you been market leaders now?
With more than 27 years, yeah. So if we get to the end of this year, it'll be 28 years of market leadership. Yeah, and that's thanks to, you know, the support of our customers. We don't take it for granted. It's very much down to that. And of course, our dealers, you know, we've got some great trucks now. Obviously, we're really proud of them. But to have that continued success over almost three decades is a reflection of the fact that they've continued to have support, and that's about the people, really, the backup that people, I think, expect and get, hopefully, from DAF.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time, though.
Thank you, Will.
Cheers.
Pleasure.